The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
It's the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Kingy's just told me that there is a player at Geelong known as the Ferret.
Ollie Wiltshire is what the Barwon Heads boys call him.
There's always a ferret in each team, isn't there?
Well, we hadn't had
Were you ever a ferret?
No, we hadn't had one since Paul Sarah.
Yes, Kingy. My Hydro's Heroes might come up with Paul Sarah too, I reckon.
What are the numbers today?
13 and 26.
I think they're lay down.
Actually, I've got a question, Kingy, right off the bat from Hydro.
How is Hydro?
He's good.
Somebody actually wants to know a little bit about Hydro. He actually comes up in one of our questions on Big Footy today.
Right. Well, so this is to tell you a little bit about Hydro, but this is a question for you, Kingy,
sent
through by Hydro. And my response to this was, all right, if he gets that, I'll disrobe.
So I'm probably going to answer it wrong, so you don't.
Yes, possibly. Or if you can, that would be very handy. So Hydro went to school from the years 1973 to 1978.
Yep, so high school.
At St. Joseph's.
Yep.
St. Joseph's College.
Yep.
And he went to the same year level as himself.
Yep.
Were the sons of three Cats greats.
Yep.
Now, the numbers of the Cats greats.
Yep.
Were 7.
Yep.
12.
Yep.
And 16. Who were they?
Who were the sons?
Who were the greats?
Well, one of them would have been Peter Pianto.
No. Thank God. The old plums will stay firmly within the realms of the pan.
Three sons of former Cats greats.
Who wore 7, 12 and 16.
Was there an O'Halloran amongst them?
No.
Nah, I'm...
Hovey?
Yep.
McMaster?
Oh, yeah, Bill's boy, yep.
And Hyde.
Johnny Hyde's boy, yeah. John Jr.
Yes.
Right, who became a politician in WA.
So Brendan Hovey would have been the Hovey.
Yep.
And I don't know about the McMaster.
There you go.
There you go.
No, I wouldn't have, wouldn't have got that.
Well, I said that. Yeah. I said that is, if Kingy gets that, then he needs to take his place in the pantheon of just...
I was born in 79, so this is... Yeah, I didn't go to Joey's till 90.
10 off, King.
91, so.
Yeah, I was a bit older than you, but I was the same. So I was 71.
Yeah.
Born in 71. So anyway, King, the Cats weren't born in 71. They were good on Saturday night, weren't they?
Yeah.
Saturday twilight.
They just were harder at the contest than the Suns.
Well, I think Hydro suggested that the Cats were just, his expression that he used was, Kingy, was that the Cats... they just ragdolled them.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know about that, in fairness.
They were more physical.
Yeah, they probably were. The coach of the opposition said that they sort of admitted that they got beaten up a little bit around the ball. I don't know if they got absolutely pizzled.
No.
Cats were good, though.
Jim Marco Connor did a good job.
He did.
On Noah Henderson.
We spoke about it during the broadcast, too, and it's good that... I mean, look, I've never been... a great fan of Mark O'Connor. No. But he is in good form, I will admit that. And
he's had a great month.
He has. And the fact that he was actually able to come out of defence and play in the midfield is, that's fantastic because it's always not easy to do.
That surprised me because the way he'd actually been playing behind the footy, the role he'd been playing, a little bit, I'm not going to, like Tom Stewart, obviously not Tom Stewart style.
He'd been in really good form.
But the ability to read the ball coming in off the boot, coming off his man to intercept
Mark. Taking good marks, yeah.
Had me thinking maybe, he's permanently back there. But also, too, with how the Geelong team might look going forward, is there still a spot in the back seven for him?
Well, Colin Chesney doesn't appear to be coming back anytime soon.
No, but where's...
What's the update there?
No, he's still listed as one...
I saw 2BC.
TBC. So where does Jack Bowes go when he comes back?
Well...
Or does Jack Bowes... Is Jack Bowes coming straight back in?
I reckon it's a question mark. I don't know.
He's listed as a test for this
week. I wouldn't have thought it was a fait accompli that he does.
He might be setting the GPS for Werribee on Saturday morning.
Is he in this week?
He's listed as a test.
Yeah, I reckon you might be right. I mean, I'm going to do a full turn here. I mean, Jack Bowes has never been my favourite player either.
You've had a few in the gun over the last couple of years.
I mean, it's only just on ability. Jack Bowes is a great fellow. We've had him on Carrick a few times. He's a great fellow. I just don't know. We've tried him in a few different positions, and he doesn't seem quite suited to any of them. If anything, it's probably midfield, where if he has a good day, he can get a bit of the ball, but when he's quiet, he's very quiet.
He's played a couple of good games off half-back.
Yeah, I just don't know if he's got the leg speed. I think he can get away with that against some average opposition, against good opposition. I don't know that he's got the leg speed for that. Right now, O'Connor is ahead of Bowes, I would have thought, just on form. I mean, while Bowes has been out of the team, O'Connor's gone gangbusters. So if you're thinking about that sort of, what, seventh-type defender, right now it's O'Connor.
Yep.
I mean, but that's relying on everybody being available, which is probably unlikely.
No.
It's a good problem to have, let's put it that way. And then Bowes, could he come into the midfield if you needed it? Could he come into defence if you needed it? Probably. They're probably the only two positions he could play.
Yep.
So with Connor O'Sullivan stepping up, would you rather Connor O'Sullivan or Bowes?
Oh, Connor O'Sullivan. Mm. But they're different roles, though.
They are different roles, but you can only fit so many defenders in. They've already got Stewart. They've already got
Jack Henry.
They've already got Zach Guthrie.
Sam DeConing.
They've already got maybe Jake Colajasny if he ever gets back.
See, here's your question. O'Sullivan or Jake Colajasny?
Well, I think you'd have to find a way to get both of them in. Right now, you'd be going with O'Sullivan. Mm. I mean, Jake's going to have been out for so long.
Yeah.
That
does he get to a point where
he's had a recurrence, didn't he? Because he actually played a game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He played a couple, and he woke up with a back issue. It's all back pelvis related, so he's had some issues with that.
Is he having cortisone?
I have no idea, Benny.
Is he got a rotated pelvis?
I'm not sure.
That's an issue.
It is. You know, back pelvis or back groin or groin.
Is there any awareness?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of awareness.
I think there could be some awareness.
I don't think Jake Colajasny forces his way back into, unless there were injuries or they wanted to give O'Sullivan maybe another management at, say, round 2021.
Yeah.
Jake Colajasny, if he's not right by then,
he may not play this year in the seniors.
Correct.
He needs to get back soon and play two or three games.
And being TBC means you're not back soon.
No. He's obviously in a race against time to play this year. Well, is he re-signed for next year?
Collar?
Yeah.
No, he's without a deal.
Right.
He's out of contract. I think he's got, he's one that's...
Well, if O'Connor was to continue on this sort of vein of form and you've got O'Sullivan stepping up, it might be that he's...
Because nobody's going out of that back line in a hurry either.
No, I mean, Henry's young. Yep. Zach Guthrie, well, relatively young,
mid-20s. Yeah. Tom Stewart's the old out-of-statement statesman.
What's he, 31?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Jay Colajasny is now obviously on the outer, significantly on the outer and in not even playing, obviously. But if he's out for another 5 weeks, he's going to find it extraordinarily difficult.
Won't play before the bye.
When's that?
3 weeks.
Yeah, that doesn't...
Fortnight. Cats play two, then have the bye.
Right.
And that's a bye in both VFL and AFL. Yeah. And then they're back start of July.
And well, they're going well, Kingy.
Unless he's back.
They're going well without him.
They are.
So, geez, they were good on Saturday night. The things we liked. I mean, the two of their poorer players, for want of a better phrase, were Dangerfield and Cameron. Cameron was well beaten by MacAndrew. In fact, he was hammered by MacAndrew. He was really good. Dangerfield.
MacAndrew actually got a couple of coaches.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, Cameron had been in really good form. He couldn't get near it.
So Geelong's three lowest possession getters were Dangerfield,
he had
Cameron.
One kick, Dangerfield.
Yep, Dangerfield had seven disposals. Cameron had six disposals. And Shannon Neal, who got injured, had three.
Yeah, so let's leave Shannon Neal out because he was injured. But Cameron and Dangerfield were non-existent in terms of impact. And that's fine. You can't expect them to be your best players every week. But so the fact that Geelong then were still able to arm wrestle a pretty good team who were out to prove a point off the back of the loss to Freo, I think is a really good sign. Grian Myers was fantastic again, probably came up the ground more. I mean, Max Holmes, he had, I think, half of his possessions were contested possessions. 19 of his 40 were contested possessions. That's something that we don't normally attribute to him. He obviously thought that without, Dangerfield playing almost exclusively up forward and no Bailey Smith, he obviously started to change his game to a certain degree and was able to do that. 40 touches in a game. He's proven to be a really handy pickup for the Cats. But they gave away a future first round, didn't they, to get Max Holmes to Richmond?
Yep.
And picked him at about pick 20?
Yep.
Yeah. I saw a little graphic, Kingy, that one of our is it Lord McBain stuck up there on the Triple X?
Oh, Laird McBain.
Oh, Laird McBain.
Yeah.
On the old Triple X.
Thanks to KFC.
When I was just perusing the Triple X Kingy, and I saw that I probably won't be able to find it, but it just was someone must have been having a go at the Cats because they've, you know, feel like they've got an armchair ride, they're getting all yada yada yada. But I think ten of the 22 on Saturday night were either sort of lowly draft picks,
rookies, or cat bees.
Yeah,
yeah.
There was
or international
Myers.
Yep, 57.
Stewart.
It was high 30s.
Atkins.
Was a rookie.
There was Zach Guthrie.
Zach was a rookie or very low. He might have been a rookie, Zach Guthrie.
Did I mention Atkins?
You did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who else?
Did you like? O'Shea Mullen, international rookie.
Yeah.
Mark Blitzarv's rookie.
Yep.
So
Lawson Humphreys pick 63.
Yep.
There was another one.
Ollie Dempsey, rookie.
Yeah, there was also another one who was a pretty low sort of when I say low, not high. I mean low down in the draft.
Guff, yep. I think Brad Close was it.
Yeah, Brad Close might have been in there as well, but pick 45 or something.
Then you got Sean Manor.
No, he wears 45, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't a high pick.
But then you look at his Sean Manor as a mature ager as well. On top of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look. Anyway, it was just made the point that half the team was picked off the scrap heap, or the footy scrap heap, so to speak. Yeah.
Tyson Stengel.
Well, he was the other one.
Yeah.
They got him as a delisted free agent. No one else wanted him.
Yep.
Look, it was just I had a look at it and thought, yeah, it's probably a really good point that we have been able to find those diamonds in the rough and then, you know, develop them, which is not easy to do.
Yeah.
Did
you mention Jack Henry?
I think Jack Henry might have been
there. He's a rookie.
I think we've got more than 10 there.
He's a rookie.
Old Laird McBain might have missed a couple, might have left a couple off.
He's a rookie. Ted Close, he's a rookie.
Yeah, I reckon he, but we're meant to get onto Laird. I think he sold us even shorter than he sold us short. Now look, it was just an interesting post on social media and highlights, you know, how the Cats do it. They can, you know, they also have a few top-end players there, which they've recruited from other clubs. You know, high picks, Dangerfield, Cameron, and the like. But they've also been able to do it. I mean, even you think, I mean, Max Holmes at pick 20, it's not like he's a top five.
No.
Sam DeConi, you know, pick 20, in the 20s, I reckon. Mm. Yeah. So, look, the team, you know, seems to be really building. Do you think George Stevens gets to go this week?
He can't do much more.
Jai Clark was good in the twos.
Yeah.
I don't think they're probably going
to be. Stevens got the 10 coaches' votes in the twos.
Yeah, well, that would suggest to me that if anybody's getting game, it'd be him.
Yeah.
It was just good to see, I think, the four players, Nevitt, Clark, Stevens, and Wiltshire, all had good games.
Well, Wiltshire's come off one disposal the previous week.
And they get 23.
Yeah, and kicked two goals too.
Yeah. I think Mitch Nevitt, Jai Clark, and Stevens all had a heap of the footy.
Yep.
And a heap of clearances. And the game was tight, so the opposition were obviously okay.
Against a Gold Coast team that had good AFL listing. Yeah.
Representation key,
I think. Good word.
Do you like that one?
I do like that, Bernie.
Have you ever been under a cloud?
What, Cheech and Chong style?
No, not that sort of cloud, Tom.
Right. The other thing I liked was Tom Stewart's game, 14 marks.
Yeah, he's back to his moving, I wouldn't say best, but he's moving well.
And Zach
Tui, said that against West Coast.
Zach Tui said, give him a couple of weeks and he will be right.
He looks to be moving really well. And I did see some vision during the week in one of those footy shows as to why Gold Coast allowed him to be just the spare man behind the footy for quite a bit of the evening was to their detriment. He was moved well, read the ball well, marked it well, and he was a thorn, the old thorn in the side. A
couple of other things I liked. Tyson Stengel, four goals in
four
a game.
Four snags.
A game where you had to make the most of your
opportunity. Well, you need an opportunistic player to step up in conditions like that, and he's kicked four Geelong's nine.
I thought Mitch Duncan's game as a sub was pretty good.
Yeah, he was okay.
17 disposals coming into the game. He only played 50% game time.
Yeah, he was...
Actually, 44% game time.
He was okay.
To have 17 disposals is not a bad return.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah, he's giving you something. Let's put it this way. He's making it awkward for them to toss him out.
Okay. Does he get managed now?
Managed.
He wouldn't want
to be getting managed.
No, but he's...
Because managed means for him might be managed out of the team altogether.
So my understanding is, Buse was left out of the Eagles game. Mm-hmm. My understanding was he wasn't listed as managed, but he was managed.
Right.
He went to Perth and he couldn't get his spot back.
Yeah.
Played in the VFL.
Yeah.
So that would be a worry for Mitch.
Yeah.
If I get managed, I'll get a week off. Maybe they don't because they've got a bye coming up in a couple of weeks.
Mm.
But if they want to get George Stephens a game,
this would be the week to do it.
Yeah. Answer a question for me.
Mm. I'll try, Tom. Can I phone a friend?
George Stephens is out of contract.
Yeah.
If there's no future for him at Geelong beyond next year, are Geelong looking to get some games into him to actually up his potential, whatever they can get back for him?
I don't think 4 or 5 games is going to do a whole lot to, in terms of the needle of what you're worth, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
I mean, unless he came and had 4 best on grounds.
Yeah. Well, if he does that,
he might just make himself a little bit more. So instead of getting pick 75, you get pick 64.
You might get a second rounder rather than a third.
I don't think you're going to get a second rounder for George Stephens. Mm. Not a hope in hell.
No.
So I don't think it's going to make a
huge
difference.
Might be a third instead of a fourth.
What they probably need to do, Kingy, is rather than be worried about sort of selling him to another club, is getting some games into him so that if you did need him in a final, he's not as raw as Red Raw.
Yeah.
So he's at least had some sort of taste of senior footy. Because it's seemingly he's probably the next cab off the rank in terms of your midfield. So if an Atkins was to go down or somebody else was to go down and we were short in the midfield, you've got a player there, albeit inexperienced, who's at least tasted senior level. I reckon that'd be pretty important.
Essendon have already showed their hand. They're going to unveil a couple of debutants, Spenny, from out of their mid-season draft.
Oh, that's good for the Bombers.
Archie May and Lockie Blackiston, who only joined the club last
week. Well, they lose Durham.
Week, yep.
They are absolutely decimated with injury.
Yep.
Their entire back line's out. Redmond's out. Ridley's out. Yep. Reed's out. Mm. Reed actually just re-signed with the Bombers this week. He's been really good this year.
Mm.
He's a high draft picker, had horrendous injuries. He'd actually been really good for them. So, look, let's put it this way. There'd be some sort of inquiry.
Tom Hawkins would want to be coming in. Do you know how Tom Hawkins had beat up on Essendon late in his career? He'd be going, this is the week I want to be playing.
Well, Desi Gleeson will get called in for some sort of inquiry if Geelong can't find a way to get past Essendon, given the players that they have out.
Yes.
They'd have to have, I reckon, upwards of 9 of their best 20 out. Out of the midfield, they lose Durham. I'm trying to think who else is not. I mean, obviously Draper's not playing. Nick Bryan's not playing.
Let me have a look at So here we go. Nick Bryan, Nick Cox, Sam Draper,
I'll tell you whether these are senior players or not.
Nick Bryan.
Yes.
Nick Cox.
Yes.
Sam Durham.
Yes.
I'm just giving you the ones who I think are. Draper.
Yes.
Sardell Harley.
Yeah, he's. No, maybe not.
Yep. Harrison Jones.
Yes.
Kyle Langford.
Yes.
Ben McKay.
Yes.
Mason Redmond.
Yes.
Zach Reed.
Yes.
Jordan Ridley.
Yes.
And the other one actually left out was Lewis Hayes there as well. He's done a knee.
Yeah, they've got more problems than Lindsay Lohan. Yeah.
We've got some questions, Benny. We've actually got questions off of email. So people are actually emailing the station.
Really?
With questions. This one actually came last week. We didn't get to it. This is from Smokey Dawson.
As in not really the Smokey
Dawson.
No,
not the Smokey Dawson.
The smokester.
In 2004, we realised a top-tier ruckman was the missing puzzle piece, recruited Brad Ottens and banged 3 flags in the 7 years he played. Since he retired, we've been in the premiership window for 14 years, but we've barely cracked it open. When will Geelong have another Ottens moment and go hard for De Koning, Darcy, or even Marshall if St Kilda were to land Tom De Koning? Feels to me like a proper ruck could spark another premiership bender. It's not Geelong's focus. It never has. It hasn't been for the last 15 years.
They focus their Bugs Bunny in other areas. You could see what that could do, but does that then limit their ability? I mean, clearly they're trying to get Matt Rowell. Does that limit your ability there? They're happy to pinch hit, and they have at least in the last couple of years invested in some ruckmen who they're trying to develop. Now, you hope you hit with one of those. I mean, Toby Conway is the obvious one, old Loch Ness. But there's a couple others there, Kingies, at Mitch Edwards. There's one other.
And then Jacob Mollier. He's younger again. So.
And is there one other?
No, Stanley Conway.
Right.
Edwards, Mollier.
So they've got 3 young ruckmen there. If they could hit on one,
yep.
Who could become a reasonably serviceable player?
They do rate Edwards.
Right.
Yeah, just he's got to get his
So body Conway's the one who's physically probably more developed than those players, even though he hasn't played, he's played very little. They feel like, the Cats feel like that their blueprint for success is to penny pinch in some areas, and every club has to penny pinch in certain aspects of the game and the players that they play and the type of players that they pay. And Geelong feel that they've been able to get away with what you would consider a below average ruckman for quite some period of time, including winning a flag with it and always being around the mark. Mm. So, you know, until that changes, I mean, look at, you know, Sydney. They got a good ruckman, Grundy. They can't get out of their own way. Mm. And the thing is that I think you pay a good, you pay a premium for a good ruckman.
Yep.
The one that I thought was a bit interesting was, and I know he's 1,000 years old, but this year, and I don't know his contract status with Essendon, but I thought it was interesting that they maybe just didn't get a flyer in a bargain basement, Todd Goldstein, mm. who would have started this year with Bryan and Draper in front of him.
Yep.
Now, it's worked out that he is playing. So, okay, that's fine. But, you know, it's hard to imagine that when he started the year, you'd be thinking, well, I'm not going to be playing in the seniors if those two are playing.
Yeah.
I mean, we even saw him playing in the reserves practice match down here.
Yes.
That day. So I just thought that was a player you could think, well, because you wouldn't be paying him much.
No.
He's experienced. He's what Geelong. He's a Reece Stanley. He'd probably be an upgrade on Reece Stanley.
Yep.
But anyway, it didn't happen. But I can see the argument, but the Cats would argue that they've been very, very successful with a ruckman that they're paying, you know, in footy terms, peanuts.
Yep. Off the Cat Attack podcast, KFCX.
Oh,
Leroy Stengel was outstanding and finally got reward for weeks of effort, but not much praise. Hawks and Pies both isolate Watson and Elliott 1v1 in forward 50 with good results. I maintain Tyson, even just for 5 to 10 minute stints, could turn a finals game on its head. Thoughts? Great call, by the way.
Yeah. Look, he is. I heard Chris Scott talking about Tyson Stengel. I don't know if it was after the game on the weekend. It might have been the week before. Actually, it might have been after the game. And he was talking about how he's very strong in the contest for his size. Mm. And we've spoken about that before, Kingy. He is very good in the air. He's very good at using his body. He's obviously stronger than he looks. And he's dangerous at ground level. And he's got that ability to – he thinks quick. Now, we've spoken to – we had him on doing special comments, actually, when Geelong played Adelaide. But Dan Menzel used to play with Tyson Stengel
– at Woodville.
At Woodville. And he talked him up, as you would, but he said his footy nous was top shelf. When you talked footy with him, he really knew his stuff, and he plays like that. Mm. He thinks quick, he knows the game, and he's just got that ability to – a lot of the Indigenous players have, but he has the ability to make movements that just buy him that little extra second. Mm. You know, whether it's a fake this way, fake that way, everyone goes one way, he's going the other way, and it just buys him that little – and he did one the other – last week, was it? Or was it against – who did we play 2 weeks ago? MCG?
Yeah, you've got to go back to Collingwood at the last game at the
MCG.
No,
maybe it wasn't.
Bulldogs?
No, it might have been against West Coast. Yeah. We actually did the old – you don't see it very often. He did the old balk by putting the ball from one hand to the other hand. And then he snapped a goal. But the bloke who was trying to tackle him went for the ball.
Yeah.
And he just bought himself an extra second and was able to snap the goal. But, look, he's an absolute gun. He's a player that, yeah, look, you hope he can fire in a fight. When he fires, Geelong are really, really hard to beat.
Randomness. Couple of things from randomness. Really gritty win, and it was good to see guys like Close and Stengel have a big impact in the sloppier conditions compared to throughout the year. Do you think that Jack Martin could be a genuine swingman like he kind of was last game? Looked really solid in very small game time.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that they've got him and playing him in defence. Don't know. It's too small a sample size to be, I think, start sort of saying what Jack Martin can and can't do. He was okay against the Gold Coast.
57% game time.
Yeah, he was okay. He
12 disposals.
He didn't look out of place.
He looked busy. He was busy early.
He had 6 possessions in the first quarter.
Took 7 marks.
Yeah, a lot of those are just chip it across the sideways.
Yeah, but still, he was presenting to create.
He had 6 of his 12 in the first quarter. Look, I'm not knocking him, but I wouldn't be start sort of saying he's going to be able to do this, that and the other off one game. Let's see what happens if he can string together 5 games and we get a bit of a sample size about A, how he fits in, B, how he's playing, C, what his best role might be, and D, can his body hold together? But the Cats have clearly managed him to be available late in the year, and you know they've injected him mid-year. Hoping, I imagine he's the player they would sort of manage, even though he hasn't come into the middle of the year. But look, it's all positive. He's another player that the Cats have to think about in terms of selection, which is never a bad thing.
Also from randomness, I usually don't do 2 comments, but I can't fit it into one. But how good was Scotty giving Caro a proper dressing down on the agenda setters on Tuesday regarding Baz? I've only seen snippets of it.
No, well, so I didn't see that. What did he say?
Basically, she questioned.
Were they on a panel together?
Yeah.
Or was it frosty?
I only watched a little bit of it. I didn't
Would
watch it live.
Would you describe it as frosty?
No, I don't think so. I think Chris Scott and Caroline Wilson actually have a fairly mutual relationship, as in there's a respect there for each other. So, I didn't watch it closely enough. I sort of glanced at
it. What channel is this on, Kingy?
That's on 7.
What's it called?
The Agenda Setters.
The Agenda Setters. Yep. Are they like superheroes, though?
It's the Channel 7 answer to Footy Classified.
Right. And what night does this appear on my inbox?
Monday and Tuesday.
Right. Is this on it late at night?
No. These are the ones you can watch live on, like, the spare channel, like on 7Mate.
The old spare channel.
Yeah, I'll put my hand up and say, during the week, spending the weekend covering footy, both local and AFL, the last thing I want to do on a Monday night is watch a bunch of media types say they've got the best rumour going around.
Yeah.
I actually have little or no interest in it.
No, but I would, if Chris Scott came on, I'd watch.
Yeah. And what I saw.
So I might go back and watch that.
Yeah. How
will I get the hold of that?
You'd probably find it on 7 Plus.
Oh, 7 Plus.
Yeah.
There's that many 7 Mate and 7 Scott No Mate. Is that one of the channels?
Yeah, so 7 Plus is the app. Right. You'd be able to go back and watch it.
Okay, well, I might do that. Because I always, if there's a Geelong player on a Geelong theme, I always watch. And if there's somebody I enjoy, like if Sam Mitchell came on, I'd watch.
When AFL 360 used to have Chris Scott on regularly.
Yeah.
And Tom Hawkins
You'd
on.
You'd watch that.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Yeah, because you'd be interested to see what they've got to say. It always
fuel
for what might come up at media conferences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But watching media types.
Yeah, just sort of run a bit of Brill Cream through the old Yogi Bear.
I just can't do that. Teddy G, can you boys remind me why Third Man Up was outlawed? It wasn't, we may not have had a world record 154 stoppages. I've just gone back and had a look. Third Man Up went back in 2017.
Wasn't it to protect the ruck contest,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yep. Basically, the AFL is understood to have been concerned that if it continues, this is Pete Ryan's article actually for AFL.com.au. AFL is understood to have been concerned that if it continued to allow players the ability to go third man up, the role of the ruckman would be under threat.
Yeah. And now it's almost reached that point because they stand next to each other in the ruck contest in the middle. And then after the ball's left the umpire's hand for 0.0002 of a second, they're wrestling.
What was really funny, though, that Mark Blitzarves, when that was announced on X, put officially announcing my retirement from the game effective immediately. Hashtag three's a crowd. And then he's put Seek, the job company, he's tagged them in.
Well, he's
here he is nearly 9 years later.
He's made a fair fist of it, hasn't he?
He's done all right.
Yeah, look, I think something needs to be done in the ruck, in fairness. Those centre ruck contests are just an absolute farce.
Marky Mark the Lamp, after 130 games, 8 years in a premiership, has Mark O'Connor finally arrived?
We spoke about him. He's been very good, career best. Can he maintain it and be a pivotal player for the Cats when it counts, you know, in finals? That would be fantastic because he wouldn't be one that you'd be expecting to do that. And that's probably one of the reasons why Geelong have started well this year, Kingy, among other things. I mean, we've got players who you have an expectation of, but there's others like Connor O'Sullivan is one. We had no expectation that he'd be playing every game. We had no expectation that Mark O'Connor would be a key player. Yep. Did we have an expectation? We had probably no idea that Bailey Smith was going to be as good as he's been. Now he's a different kettle of fish to Mark O'Connor. But Tommy Atkins has bounced back into great form. There's been some players there. Ollie Dempsey has continued to probably gets more time put into it, but he's still continuing to surge.
Victory.
Yeah, Graham Myers is holding his form. Neil's come in and played a role, and Stanley's been pretty good in the ruck. Mm-hmm. They're probably part of the reasons why it hasn't been. I mean, Patrick Dangerfield's been good, but that's icing. When they're good and those other players are doing what they're doing, mm-hmm. Geelong are incredibly hard to beat.
Cameron's kicked 38 goals, but he hasn't been
stunning
38
goals.
He had
by his lofty standards, a pretty average 6 or so weeks.
Yep.
Yeah,
he's kicked 19 of those goals in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and against Bunnies.
And a lot of them came in jump
against
time.
Against Frio.
Port Adelaide.
And against West Coast.
Didn't he kick some goals against the Dogs?
He set fire to to old topspin lob.
Yep. Tom Hawkins' stunt double, which is Mick Howley. Is it possible that Benny's magazines made their way to Loch Ness's abode and he spasmed trying to retrieve one, which has led to the injury?
That is.
We're moving on.
That is quite possible, King. And Rex, have you ever experienced that?
Rexy, earlier this season I proposed an idea of retiring Cam Guthrie to open up a spot for the mid-season draft. This weekend saw another injury in the first quarter of another attempted comeback. Is the club delusional to believe he can hold up to the rigours of AFL footy given the data it possesses? Guthrie is a champ.
Yeah, look, I think... Do you think Cam Guthrie's getting back in?
No.
No, I think he's up against it.
Yeah, he's out of contract.
Probably seen him for the last time, I think,
which is disappointing. You'd love him to get him to a point where you might be able to give him in
last game of the year.
Yeah, or the against, last game.
Is it West Coast?
Richmond. Or last game down here in round 22.
Yeah. There might be a midfielder they could give a 2-week rest to, hopefully. Yeah. And he could get a game. That would be fantastic if that could happen, King.
It's disappointing. So I was talking to somebody about this the other day. So he and Blitzarve's great mates. Mm. Guthrie came in a couple of years early, but didn't play much footy through his first couple of years, and him and Blitzarve for a long time there basically went head to head in terms of games played, and they were on a similar number when the 22 grand final. I think Guthrie might have actually even been slightly ahead of Blitzarve in terms of games played.
Yep.
And you just had that feeling like these ties are going to go nearly hand in hand to 300. Blitzarve's is going to get there. Unfortunately, Cam Guthrie's not even going to get to 250, which is probably a bit sad. Yeah. They don't get to do it because they grew up together in Sunbury, great mates. It was Andrew Guthrie who obviously got Mark Blitzarves on the radar of the Cats, and their lives are pretty interlinked.
Yeah. So it's sad for Cam Guthrie. Let's hope he can get back, Kingy. We're not writing him off just yet, but it's certainly looking a bit grim. But it'd be great if he could come back, and you'd think that final game of the year they'd have the ability to play somebody who you wouldn't normally be, go outside your bounds normally just to give a champion of the club a farewell.
Yeah, Geelong were never going to retire him off.
No, but if he doesn't play this year, he retires himself.
Yeah, he's done, which is disappointing. Absolutely. I think he's played 9 or 10 AFL games since. Have you cramped, Benny?
No, I've got an issue, King.
Well, we know you've got more than one.
Anyway,
you okay?
Talking about my shoes. Oh, I've just got some sort of it's general soreness, King.
Right,
Mexican general soreness. I don't know why. Do you ever?
Can I go to some more questions, Benny?
Have you ever done any Reiki? What?
Howler 41. A bit of love for Sam DeConing. He's been involved in 22 defensive one-on-ones for the season and lost one. He leads the Cats for intercepts and spoils. He takes the big forwards and he's tracking beautifully. Sure, he reads kids' books. Me, personally, I'm more of Benny Cass' Light Entertainment magazine arrangement. Big Reese, the Pantene Pro V hair model, has lifted his ceiling a bit, competing whilst looking like a Greek god. Speaking of rucks, great to hear from Loch Ness Saturday. I love the fact that people are calling him Loch Ness.
Well, he wouldn't like that.
No. Poor bloke isn't the only person to wake up a bit stiff and or sore. Hoping this week is the week for the debut of George Cat Stevens. Dominated VFL, sure lacks pace but can distribute well by hand or foot. Loves a clearance, Boxing Day sale style.
And the Cats is this
Daz? No, this is Howler 41. Oh, right. And the Cats have plenty to cover with pace. Good signs for Nevitt and Pup Clark also.
Yes, I agree with all
that. We touched on that a bit earlier, the VFL boys.
Mick Howley, he produces, doesn't
he? No, this
he?
Is Howler 41.
Oh, Howler 41.
Yeah, this is somebody else.
Oh, so, no, Howler 41, that's written and authorised by the Howler. I agree with all that. So what was the first bit about Sam DeConing? Because we've had a few people poo-hooing him.
22 defensive one-on-ones for the season has lost one.
Yeah. He's probably had a few goals kicked on
him. And
leads
the Cats for intercepts and spoils.
Yeah, look, I think he's going well, but it seems a bit odd. I reckon it was early as last week
He was very good on air with us on
questioning him.
Saturday.
He was. He had a little bit of a laugh, didn't he?
Yeah, he's laconic.
He is very laconic.
But he's come out of his shell.
And he was a surfer, and he'd never heard the expression shark biscuit.
But he liked it.
He did, yes.
He did like it.
When I said to him, do you think he had any idea what I told him? When I said, where's your preference to go when you're strapping the shark biscuit to the Cortina? He would have been thinking, what's a shark biscuit and what is a Cortina?
He had a bit of fun when we asked him about playing with Tom as well. He got in the spirit.
I asked him if he had a spare room for Tom, and he said certainly.
Yes. Khan Catters, that was some old school wet weather footy, which was great to watch. Thought Merrick played well, which is O'Connor. Tough, committed, and strong in the contest. At the law firm, Closey and Closey were also very solid.
Yes.
Cold Toast, meanwhile, are looking forward to next week where they hope to collect Noah Anderson. That was a good bump.
Yeah, it was a good bump.
The problem is, though, if you get that wrong, that is weeks. It's just that it was perfectly executed, but sometimes they do go a little bit skew with those bumps. People who are saying you went past the footy, you are allowed to actually go past the footy.
You're allowed
to bump.
To bump.
Because if the ball's in 5 metres, that is the rule. Yeah. I can't believe people are saying, oh, you went past the footy. As long as the ball's within 5 metres, you can bump.
But I can't understand the hysteria around it. He bumped him in the side for crying out loud.
Yeah, but the hysteria is that if he gets it wrong, so say Noah Anderson gets lower and he chooses
but
to bump.
But we're purely based on outcomes. Yeah, so somebody said, oh, if he had a broken a rib, he'd get suspended.
No, he wouldn't.
What?
No, he would not get suspended.
I suggested that person needed to have a frontal lobotomy.
No. Cats.
That is not... that. But the whole premise of that we're every time I turn on the TV for the short period of time, we're talking about the bump and whether he should be suspended or not. This has reached a point where if you go up for a ruck on... If you go up for a mark and you fly high and you put your knee into the back of somebody's head and you knock them out clean, what would happen to you?
Well, the MRO would get involved.
Because it's outcome-based. So they'd be outlawing the mark then. Mm. People say, oh, if this happened, if he hit him in the head. Well, he didn't.
Yeah, we're basing it on hypotheticals.
Yeah. Mm. But also, if you go up for a mark and you knee someone in the back of the head and they get knocked out.
Well, that should be just bad luck.
It's an accident.
Because it's a football act.
Yeah, so is bumping.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been outlawed from the game.
No, it hasn't been outlawed from the game, but they have tweaked the interpretation in terms of...
But we're tweaking
of...
everything around the injury because it's all the
but
image.
Not, but not with marking.
No, they but the, everything is in the AFL revolves around its image.
Aesthetics.
Yeah.
Cats. Can you remind us again who Hydro is and also bring back Benny's quiz?
Well, we did. King, you poo-pooed the quiz because I...
Because you didn't take it seriously.
Yes, I did.
Questions like...
If vegetarians eat vegetables, what do humanitarians eat? And the guy on the other line, I forget his name, he goes, I don't know if I can say this, humans. And he was right, Kingy. He was definitely right. We asked a few stupid questions. There was, within the quiz, I tried to do 5 footy questions and 5 absolutely ridiculous questions.
What do people in China call their good plates?
Yes, that was one of them. Yeah, the last sheepdog trials, how many were found guilty? There was a few others that we did that were just absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, I never knew who the guest's name was. And you just had enough and said, we've got to move that on.
We do. Yeah. And who is Hydro?
Well, Hydro is a friend of my brother, my elder brother, and he went to St. Joseph's and he grew up a big Cat fan, and he used to be involved with the Leopold Football Club, and that's where his Hydro came from, because he used to run water and he called himself the Hydration Monitor.
The Hydrologist.
Yes, and so he doesn't live in Geelong anymore, I think he lives in Melbourne, but... he's a big Cat fan. Yep. And
you used to do a podcast with him.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So we
you did the Geelong show.
Yeah, he's a very passionate Cat fan, and he loves the sort of footy trivia, particularly associated with the Geelong Footy Club.
Oh, now I found out how many episodes we've done. We've done more than 200.
Have we?
Yeah,
did we run through a banner?
No, we didn't. Like, we're in season Ray Sarsenby. We're in season 7.
Season 7, is it? Episode 200 and what?
6 or 7, something
right,
like that.
Right, so season 7, episode 207.
Yeah.
Well, this is good, Kingy. Yeah. These are good numbers for you. How did you stumble across this? Were you looking for some of those magazines that may have been confiscated?
I just stumbled across it because you, like, all sports podcasts are ranked by listeners.
Right.
So I think we're in the top 200 in Australia for listeners.
You're shitting me.
No, I'm not.
You are.
No, I think we're taking the. I think we're ranked about 160.
Are you extracting the urination?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it tells you how long the episode's been going for and
right
stuff like that. So they actually put out rankings and stuff. So I just sort of thought
we love doing lists, don't we?
We do.
In sport, everyone's got to be a list.
Yep. Dudas Maximus, we seem to have a fair few introverts in our team. Seems as something consistent with the Cats over the ages, including the great Gazuki. Would Zach Guthrie be the quietest on field in the current team?
We'd probably have to ask people who play with him. From the outside looking in, he seems pretty mild-mannered. I don't think we could answer that. Maybe he's one of those players that is vocal out there. He doesn't appear to be, but we don't know that. So, he might have a sort of a split personality, and he's very mild-mannered off the field and very vocal on it. A bit like, sort of some, every now and then. Kingy, I remember back in the day when... I met this lovely girl.
No, move on.
She wore glasses.
No.
No.
And, no, move on. I know where this is going.
What happened? No, no. You don't know where this is going.
I do.
No.
No. No, you know.
Anyway, she wasn't as advertised, King.
Right, good. Move on. Ron Dog, Reece Stanley.
Oh, big Ron, long Ron.
Reece Stanley, how can this be?
Why are you laughing, Tom?
Long Ron, I think of Ronnie Burns. I, along with Benny, was happily stamping his retirement card last year. Now I'm so thankful.
Who are we talking about?
Reece Stanley.
Right.
Now I'm so thankful he didn't hang up the boots. Well done, list management.
Well, they've got it right so far, haven't they? He's been serviceable, is what you'd say. He hasn't. But this is what we've spoken about for 1,000 years with Reece Stanley, and we talk about it probably every week, that he just needs to be serviceable. He doesn't need to be the best player in the competition. If he's being serviceable and he's not allowing his direct opponent to dominate the game, that's all the Cats need.
Mm.
And he's been able to do that. So he's been good. He's taken a few marks around the ground. He's kicked the odd goal. And, you know, having him in the ruck and then also having Blitzarves and then having Shannon Neal in the forward line and probably to a lesser extent maybe DeConing down back, but allows Stanley to actually be part of the wall.
Yeah.
Because Neal can do the ruck work closer to goal.
Like Hawkins did.
Yeah, Blitzarves can get back and maybe do the ruck work if it's in defence.
Yep.
So that then you've got perhaps Stanley as an outlet to kick it to if you're coming out of defence, or you've got him as part of the wall if the opposition are kicking it out.
And the last say off the questions goes to Daz Broncos. Lads, we keep racking up the 4 points, which has us 9-4. I think any of us would have taken that had we been offered it at the start of the year.
Oh, absolutely, Daz. 9-4 with the run home that we've got. Now, you don't want to count your chickens before they've hatched, but Geelong have played themselves into a position to really press for top two. If not, if you do a ladder predictor and you sort of... You do it now as you know, without being completely biased.
7-3.
Well, I had the Cats going. I reckon I had 8-2.
Okay.
I had losses, and this is people will say, you know, I had potential losses against GWS away.
Yep.
And I had
Brisbane here.
No, I had that as a win.
Yep.
I thought. I mean, and maybe Sydney away.
Yeah.
I just think they're going to drop one that you don't expect them to drop, whether it's
like
on the road.
Bit like the St Kilda game.
Yeah, they're going to. You just at this level, although people will then say, "What about 2022? Yep, can they do that again? Be fantastic." My thinking is that they will perhaps drop one. That you think you'll throw your hands in there, think how'd they lose that?
If you go 19-4, you finish on top.
Well, the ladder predictor I did, which I thought was you're not going to get them all right, but it had the Cats finishing on top.
Yeah, with Collingwood second.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
How would that be as a grand final? Revisited.
Well, pants sort of down near your ankles arrangement.
Now, to keep players fresh, we need to rotate them. With that in mind, can we run Ted and George Stevens this week versus the Bombers on a wider MCG expanse, or do we need just one of them? Does Neil play, and if not, do we go smaller forwards?
What are you hearing there, King?
With Shannon Neil?
Yeah.
It's not as bad as it first thought, and he's still a chance to play.
Do you reckon they'll rest him? Do you think that they'll rest Bailey Smith?
They might. I think they'll play. If Smith's right, they'll play him.
I reckon they'll rest him.
You reckon he'll play? You were bang on with that he wouldn't play.
Well, I mean, it wasn't hard. He grabbed for his hamstring.
Yeah.
And then I reckon I'd be surprised if they play him this week.
Okay.
Have him right for Brisbane.
Okay.
The following week.
Knowing you got a week off after it.
I don't think 2 weeks off in the middle of the year for somebody as fit as Bailey Smith's going to do too much damage. And I don't think you don't want to be throwing a bit of caution to the wind, so to speak, with him in a game where you should be able to win. I mean, the opposition with the outs we mentioned earlier, you know, they're decimated. Geelong should be able to find a way. In saying that, Essendon have been pretty good the last 2 weeks. Their first quarters have been diabolical. I think they've been outscored 12 goals to 2 in the first quarters, 6-1 in both games. You'd have to check that against Carlton. It was certainly 6-1 against Brisbane. And from that point on, for the remaining 3 quarters in both games, they outscored the opposition. They've got some players that we need to watch. Martin is one. He's a gun, 37.
Kicked 4 on debut against the Cats back in 22.
He is elite. He's elite. He's an elite kick, decision maker. Doesn't look like there's much of him, but he's quick. He marks it. He gets involved in general play, and if you get him near goal, he will finish most of the time. He's one that we really need to make sure we're watching. And the other one is obviously Merritt. You don't want him getting it 45 times. But you know, whether or not they send Mullen to Merritt seems a good match, size-wise, physicality. I'd love to see the Cats. This is where you'd love to see the Cats, Kingy, really double down on the tag.
Hmm.
They tend to tag if it's a big game against a, you know, where there's three or four opposition players you're thinking we need to clamp down, that's when they'll tag. They tend to not do it when this game here. And you'd hope that it does. The tag doesn't, the game doesn't hinge on the tag.
Yep.
But if you're doing it, the player is then getting used to doing that. That's his role, whether it's against the bottom team or the top team. He's becoming more and more familiar with that role. And if Essendon may not be the strongest team in the world, but Merritt is one of the best midfielders in the game.
Mullen or O'Connor?
Well, Mullen I'd send to him. He's a similar size. He has seemingly every base covered. So what could he learn from playing on someone like Zach Merritt? Heaps. Should the game hinge on that? No. Did the game hinge on... But when he tagged Dacos, it was a crucial last quarter matchup that Geelong won. So that's where it did become an important part of the result. But you'd hope this week that's not the case. But I'd still love them to keep drilling down on that and making that his position potentially for the remainder of this year at least.
How many do you reckon Geelong have won in a row against Essendon?
Oh, a heap.
Seven.
Yeah.
Average of
50, I would have said more.
Average of 51 points.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, so they've actually had the wood on. The closest the Bombers have actually got in that period is 28 points.
Have you? Where does that expression go? Had the wood.
Mm.
Have you ever had the wood?
Over somebody. Ben.
No. No. What does that expression mean?
Well, it means you've... Yeah, you've...
The wood, no,
it must be an old, it must be an old-time saying that from medieval times, I don't know.
Had the wood.
Yeah, not sure. Do you want to do Hydro's Heroes, Benny?
Yes, King. We're doing numbers 13 and we are doing numbers 26.
Well,
so these are...
Well, 26 picks itself.
Yes, it does. Absolutely it does. And where's the... he used to wear... the 26, and his dad wore the 26 too. I'm just trying to get this up, Kingy, because I'm getting my numbers up that have been sent to me so that we're on the same page here.
Right.
So number, we'll do 13.
We'll do 13 first.
So, well, it's an easy one, but there's a couple of names there that make me chuckle.
Glenn Kilpatrick.
Oysters.
Yep.
He was a tireless worker, and he wasn't the world's greatest kick, unfortunately, old Oysters Kilpatrick. Well, how many games did he play for the Cats?
He played 120.
For the Cats?
Yep.
Yeah. Really?
120 kick, 31 goals from 96 to 2002.
How many games did he play for Essendon?
Nah, nowhere near that. He played with the Bombers.
Did he play 150 games in his career?
146.
120 with the Cats.
So he left
I find that extraordinary.
When Essendon went to the Sandful, won a McGarry with West Adelaide, and then came back to the AFL with Geelong.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's way over. I would have said he played about 50 games.
No.
120. He was a servant. He was. There was not much frill about him, but he cracked in and you know played his role. He wasn't the he could miss targets. Was old Oyster's biggest problem.
And Paul Serra had a wonderful career.
Well, Paul Serra was only a little fellow when he was starting to do his thing, but he was a pretty good player. Paul Serra wasn't he?
Yep.
Was he a Geelong boy?
Yeah, from East Geelong, I think.
Right.
Either East Geelong or
Thompson. How many games did Paul Serra play?
For Geelong, he's played the 128.
And he go to St. Richmond?
Kicked 204 goals, then he played 37 games for the Tigers, kicked 51 goals.
So kicked over 200 goals.
Yep, 250 goals in league footy.
So 250 all up.
Yep.
That is good going, isn't it?
Yep.
That is a good player. Given how many has Grime Myers kicked from his games?
He's kicked about 110 from 140 games.
Probably plays a slightly different
role. Well, Grime Myers was going at a goal a game. Up until I reckon his role changed and he started to play higher up.
Until I said he was going to kick 500.
Well, actually, I reckon up until Tyson Stengel came along.
Right.
I reckon Stengel coming in, I reckon you'll find that Myers' production dropped off with the arrival of Tyson
and
Stengel.
And now Myers is he's become more basically like a midfielder that doesn't really sort of go in and win the ball, but he's a link player, so he's crucial. He's just like an extra midfielder.
But it goes to our mate Tom.
It does. It goes to old Domsey Lonigan, who had questionable hygiene standards. He lockered next to the 14, who questioned those standards regularly. We had him on, King. He did a lot of special comments for us. He had Tom's tales. He told us some very, very funny stories about the inner workings of the Geelong Football Club, including Nathan Ablett on the bottom of the pool trying to hold his breath, putting a pumpkin in the urn. James Kelly's boots being worn by Nathan Ablett.
As dress attire.
And James Kelly had no boots to wear during the game. So, look, we did hear some very funny stories, but he was a very, very, very good player.
Well,
bookended the goals in the 08 granny.
And considering, too, he had a kidney removed after that horrible collision in 05 and got back to playing. But Tom Lonigan should have died.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
They were preparing for... the worst.
What do they run? They run a funeral home.
No, but when that collision happened, they were preparing that he might not have survived that.
Right. Well, he did. Thank God.
He did, yeah.
Because I've spoken to him, so I can vouch for that he survived it.
His jumper that he wore that day, he hangs in the emergency ward at Geelong Hospital.
Oh, does it?
Yep. Really? I think it's actually.
I didn't know that.
And I think it might find that it is tied together. It's put so they had to cut it open, but they've tied it back together with rainbow laces.
Right.
Which is Zadie's Rainbow Foundation, the young girl from Shepparton who passed away suddenly, but was on the organ donor registry.
Right.
And donated her organs. So it became a bit of a tie in there with Tom losing a kidney. So, look, incredible career. I remember watching his comeback game in the VFL in 2007 and being in the rooms. I was lucky enough living in Albury, him being from Yarrawonga. I actually knew his dad, Stump, and his uncle, Des.
Old Stump.
Bernie.
Bruce Laird.
And his uncle Des, or I used to call him Les, Uncle Les Donegan. Great people. And so I was able to catch up with Tom after that game and sort of got to know him from there. And, you know, to then be, you know, win the Norm Goss medal in the VFL that year, it's, you know, kicked half a dozen. I think he kicked 4 or 5 and a quarter. Cats beat Coburg and then, you know, playing a premiership in 2011.
And go from a forward to a back, well, and then master some of the players like Lance Franklin, Travis Cloke at his peak. He got the big jobs and was very good at it. He'd have the odd, you know, the player who used to cause him the most problems?
Whom?
The skipper of the Dockers.
Oh, Pav. Mm. Yep.
He seemed.
But he caused a lot.
No, he did. He did cause him. But he mastered Lance Franklin many a time, and he did a great job on Travis Cloke in the 0-11 grand final when Travis Cloke was doing very, very well. So, look, he's a great fella, and he likes to have a bit of a laugh. He still lives in Geelong, too. Mm. Lives in up there in Herne Hill. He's got a sort of a 17-storied house there, and he's got 17 kids. And he's good. He's one of his great mates that came together is Andrew Mackie. Yeah. So they, I don't know how often they talk these days, obviously different clubs, but I know they're great mates and, look, both good fellas. And it's, so he's.
And went out together.
So, Kingy, I get him in my team.
Yeah.
In my team of odds.
But I get this bloke.
You do. Yeah. So the 26, Kingy, well, we know who's going to get it, but his dad wore 26 for about 182 games.
Correct.
Bill Ryan wore 26. He won't be in this, but Bill Ryan wore 26.
167 games.
And the one who was a very, very good player and probably would be a player who would absolutely thrive in today's footy was Barry Stoneham. He was an athletic freak, 1,500-metre runner.
Pre-broken leg in 1994.
Yeah, well, that ruined his... I was there that day.
Against Fitzroy.
At Princes Park. He went up in the ruck and that was it. His career, basically, I know he came back, but he was never the same. They tried to play him. We tried to push through and get to the finals soon after that, and it was, unfortunately, a bad, bad decision. I did a story with him, actually, Barry Stone, when I was at Inside Football about that, about coming back too soon. And, you know, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. And, yeah, he shouldn't have done it, and it crippled his career. But he was... look, he was as athletic as you could get, 6'4", and could kick a goal. He would have thrived in today's sort of football because he was an elite runner. He had a bit of speed. He could take a mark. He was a good kick. I remember there was a couple of games there, one game against, and the player he used to towel up, which nobody did in the day, was Glenn Jakovich. Mm. All the time, he would towel up Glenn Jakovich. So
he played in a senior premiership with St. Joey's as a 16-year-old in GDFL Division 1 back when that was rough and tumble.
Yep.
I think he kicked 6 in a semi-final as a 16-year-old.
Yep.
Within 2 years, he was playing AFL or VFL footy.
No surprise, Kingy, that after they won the 89 prelim against Essendon and Joey's had won the premiership, he rushed back on the bus and got on the gas until 6 a.m. the next morning.
Geelong West Town Hall.
That was his grand final preparation.
He wasn't on his Pat Malone.
No, there was a few of them.
Burke.
Imagine that happening now.
Darcy. Yeah. All the basically Joey's boys.
All got right on it, Kingy.
Yeah, and they played in the grand final 5 days later.
They did.
And played 6 days later.
Played quite well. So, but the man...
I did ask Barry Stoneham if they hadn't got on the juice, would that have been the one goal difference?
And?
He laughed. He thought that was funny.
And the man who's going to get it, Kingy, Tom Hawkins. Yeah. Obviously, unbelievable career. He's just was an absolute joy to behold.
There's only one...
8 million seasons he played for.
There's only one thing I would love. There's just 4 more goals to have got to 800.
Yeah, well, he didn't quite get there, but Gigi was unbelievable.
Did you know that when he injured himself in that game last year that that was it?
No.
I had just a sense that...
Well, once it was an injury that was seemingly going to keep him out for quite some time,
The way he came from the ground, I remember just the heart sank going, I don't think we're talking about this bloke.
No. There's obviously, you don't get to write your farewell in footy, do you, Kingy? And his wasn't one that was befitting of his career. But look, he was an absolute giant of the game, in pardon the pun. Mm. I shook hands with him before the game last Saturday, Kingy. He was in the media area there at GMHBA Stadium. And you don't realise how big he is until you're actually standing next to him. He is dead set enormous. So, and a lovely bloke, easygoing, country kid. Probably hasn't forgotten where he's come from. He played for Daylesford 2 weeks ago, I think.
Beaufort.
He only kicked four. They wear the Crows colours.
Well, they actually wore a combined, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, they actually incorporated the Geelong hoops on half the jumper into the Beaufort Crows hoops.
Anyway, kick four goals. But look, he's you'll get him in your team, Kingy.
Yep.
And he'll be mighty hard to stop because you don't be playing on him. The irony.
Tom Lonergan.
Yes.
Just having a look at something out of the club today. Terry Callan passed away.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is very sad. Age 80.
Be a decent old age.
Yeah, Terry, born in 38. Just doing the quick sums there. I reckon that makes him 87.
Tim was at the Cats.
Yep, Tim was at the Cats.
Members at Ballenheads Golf Club.
Yeah, so Terry played 62 games in five seasons, played in the twos, flag. Neither. I think they won the twos in 63, but he didn't play in the senior flag, so he might have played in that.
Kingy, your memory's better than mine. I can't remember what happened.
And then
lunch.
Tim played 15 games for the Cats before going on to the Dogs.
He did.
And playing some games.
He's a nice kid, Tim.
Yeah.
Smart cookie. He's a member. Good golfer.
Yes.
Low marker golf. I don't know if he still is, but he was.
Did a radio show with Cameron Ling. They used to have their little night radio show on K-Rock. I think Tim Callan's name was Fresh.
Oh, really?
It was the Fresh and Lingy show.
Fresh?
Yeah. They did a show. They recorded a show one afternoon a week.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Do you think we should have nicknames?
No, I don't think so, Benny.
I've got a couple.
Yeah. Time for us to go.
All right. Looking forward to a good challenge for the Cats, Kingy. Just a mental challenge. Need to find a way to get the job done against a team that's got plenty out.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.